Turn to John chapter 10, and we're going to read there the opening 21 verses of John chapter 10. The words will be on the screen, but if you have your scriptures, it's always good to read along with me. Let's read. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Amen. Let's just pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we find ourselves in John chapter 10 on Remembrance Sunday, when Jesus speaks very clearly about his laying down of his own accord, his life, for the salvation of all who would believe. And gracious Father, we ask that as we look into these words now, you would speak to us and we would be challenged and changed by all that you would say. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. We're continuing our series in John's Gospel this morning. We're continuing working through John's Gospel in the order that we've been in. We've not step out of sync in any way whatsoever in order to accommodate all that we would want to do and Remembrance Sunday. But in the providence of God, John chapter 10 is a very powerful chapter to be in. And these opening 21 verses are a very good place to be in the context of Remembrance Sunday. I want to remind us again that for a little while now, Jesus has been at the temple at the Feast of Tabernacles. There's been the great remembrance of the great candelabras that were lit and the backdrop to the teaching of Jesus, I am the light of the world. Today, you discover the third and fourth I ams of John's gospel, because he says, I am the door, and he says, I am the good shepherd. But the backdrop is all that's been going on there, all the interaction between Jesus and the Jewish religious leaders. And you remember there were many who were beginning to see that Jesus was the long-promised Messiah. And there were others who, despite all that was going on and all that was being said, were still completely blind to the good news of God as it comes to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that was heightened in John chapter 9 when Jesus healed the man who was born blind on the Sabbath. And I said at that time that that passage that we read in its entirety and tried to address was really a platform for two sermons that Jesus was to give. One was about the spiritual blindness of the people, and the other was about the false shepherds that the religious leaders in the nation of Israel had become. And of course, Jesus was then going to teach about himself being the good shepherd. And that's where we find ourselves this morning. And verse 21, of course, reminds us of that whole context, because the concluding question is, can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And so what's happened is that they're going back to that account in John chapter 9 when Jesus has healed a man who was born blind. And it's a beautiful passage. It's a passage that many of us have turned to over many, many times. I'm sure that like myself, for perhaps some years of your life, John 10:10 was one of those verses that you just could quote from memory, or that meant a great deal to you, where Jesus says so beautifully, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I have come to give you life, life in all its fullness, is what the NIV, many of us who memorized it from there. Some of you, of course, memorized it from the King James. But the reality is we remember that text, and it stays with us because it speaks of all that is ours by the gift of God in Christ in salvation. Well, there's so many different ways in which we could go today, but I want you to pick up on a number of themes that run all the way through these 21 verses of John chapter 10. I want you to notice when you're rereading this for yourself, the number of times Jesus talks about the sheep, those who are his followers, knowing, discerning, listening, doing what his voice says. How can you know if someone is truly a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, a great deal of the evidence for being a true follower of Jesus Christ is whether you're one who knows what Jesus has said. And not only knows what Jesus has said, but in actual fact, you're listening for what Jesus has said. And not only do you know and listen to what Jesus has said, but in actual fact, you yourself want to respond to all that Jesus says and do what Jesus says. And so you'll find that one of the great themes that runs all the way through that is this whole business of the voice, of listening and obeying, listening and doing all that Jesus calls us to. Another great theme that comes out of John chapter 10 is the whole imagery of Jesus leading those who are his followers, that we might know the way in which we should walk, that we might understand what it is to be guided by the providential hand of God. And so one of the great things of John chapter 10 is the whole business of the way in which Jesus leads us. We often sing songs that declare our commitment to follow, but in actual fact, the scripture is rich in the promise of God that he will lead, that he will guide, that he will direct our paths, that we can follow because of the wonderful leader that King Jesus is to each one of us. Of course, the high point of John chapter 10 is in the salvation which is ours in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I know that Thomas, who had a free Sunday, the other Sunday took Romans chapter 8, because there it was just a wonderful platform for the gospel and to glory in the salvation which is ours in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the mix of all of it, there's this constant, sort of teaching about how we respond to all that God in Christ is doing. But I want to try and give us a few headings to hold our thoughts on this passage together on. And I want us to think, first of all, about hearing Jesus call your name. Hearing Jesus call your name. Now, the whole setting for the teaching is the sheepfold. And it's drawn on that which was every day in the time of Jesus Christ. It's drawn on a very rural, on a very agricultural setting. In actual fact, what there would be a fold. The sheepfold was a very simple setup. It was made out of rocks. It was normally circular or square. There would be one gate in and out of the sheepfold. Remember, the gate of the sheepfold always goes in and out. Sometimes people just talk about being in the fold. In actual fact, it's not just we come to Jesus and we stay nice and safe and secure. Jesus leads us out into all manner of different things, into all manner of challenges, into all manner of commitments, into all manner of ways in which for the kingdom of God we will sacrifice ourselves. So the sheepfold is not just about being in the safety, it's in and out of that gate, but it depends who you're following in the context of it. But in ancient days, what happened is that many different shepherds would use the same sheepfold. In actual fact, they'd bring their sheep from different places and they'd all pop them into the same fold, and there would be a watchman, a guard, set over the gate. The shepherds would come in the morning and they would actually call out their sheep by name. For you and I, brought up, in the city, most of us, you may be the exception to that, and you were brought up on a farm, or whatever it might be, but for most of us brought up in the city, it does seem strange to us. I remember having the privilege of sharing with David Curry, a good friend of mine, singer-songwriter. His father-in-law was a shepherd down in Sanker forever, really, up until he died and got called home. But the reality is, I remember discussing this and talking about it, and David sharing with me, he said, "John, I would never have believed it unless I'd seen it." He said, "But I could go with my father-in-law and he could whistle or make a call or whatever it might be, and a specific sheep would come out and come round to him." And I'm thinking, nah, that would you. And so he said to me, "Pick a sheep." And David sat there and went, "Well, that one there, third one in, whatever." And his father-in-law would make a call and that sheep would come out. And he's sitting there going, "Oh, it was just luck, right?" But in actual fact, it's just the intimacy that in actual fact, the knowledge that they have. And Jesus speaking says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by the other way, that man's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, one he knows the shepherd, and so the shepherd can go in." He says, but here's the bit, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Fascinating, isn't it? You and I have got to do that little bit of work to try and understand the context in which Jesus was teaching. But there was a very real sense in which he was saying that those who are truly mine will recognize me as their Lord and Savior. And I will call them by name. And they will follow. And they will never not recognize my voice. And of course, the Jewish leaders, who were the false shepherds and those who would have liked to, claim that they would lead and guide, because bear in mind, in Israel, shepherd was a very familiar title. In actual fact, you cannot read your Old Testament without realizing the importance of shepherd. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, they all speak of the importance of the shepherd. In actual fact, to the Israelite person, any leader in any position would be considered as a shepherd to the people. And of course, Jesus is here with religious leaders, and he's making that distinction between the one true shepherd and those who were as the blind leading the blind. But hearing Jesus call your name, verses 3 and 4 of John chapter 10 are very precious. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I wonder if you're able to go back to the time when you became a Christian. I wonder if you're able to recall the way in which, just with an unshakable conviction, you knew that it was time. God was speaking. The number of people that I hear talking about their Christian conversion, and their account will go something like this. It was as if, in the midst of everyone that was there, the word that was being preached was for me and me alone. And I had to respond, and I had to surrender, and I had to give my life over to Christ. And it's remarkable when the number of times you meet people, and it doesn't matter whether it's in the midst of a small gathering of people or whether it's in the midst of a huge gathering numbering thousands upon thousands, there's that sense of the individual call of God upon a person's life, the claim of God and Christ upon that person, the need for that person to repent of all of their sin, the need for that person to declare by confession of faith that they were this day receiving the Lord Jesus Christ and longing to follow after him. And time again, you'll hear people speak in that way. Jesus, the good shepherd, knows his sheep. He knows those that in the economy of God and the grace of God come under that conviction, and he challenges that heart about their sin and their waywardness and their fallenness. And the Spirit of God is so at work in their life that they cannot but surrender. We've had occasions in the life of our church where, in the context of a normal service, when the Spirit of God has been present and there's been an invitation given for someone this day to receive Jesus Christ, they've stood unembarrassed in the presence of the people, because the Word of God was doing what it does best, bringing a person to a place of conviction, bringing a person to a place of conversion, bringing a person to a place where they knew this was the day in which they had to be made right with Christ. My sheep hear my voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He leads them out. He leads us out into what it is to witness for him in our world. He leads us out into what it is to walk with him moment by moment, day by day. He leads us out, and we follow him, and we follow him because we know that we have heard his voice, and we will now not march to the orders of any other. We will now not obey the voice of any other. We will now not give ourselves to any other voice other than the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the call of God in Christ. And when people find themselves wavering, you have to ask questions of their hearing. You could find yourself tempted. You could find yourself in trial. But we know what God in Christ says. And we know that Jesus in his word declares. And we know there is sheep following the good shepherd. We should be those who obey and do what he says. I find it quite remarkable. There are people who would claim the name of Christ, and yet when it comes to some of the teachings of Jesus, they want to debate it. They want to question it. You know, I think Jesus got a lot of things right. Oh, bless you, you know. But I think in this issue, he might have got it wrong. What nonsense is that? We are sheep. Of course, that's the problem, isn't it? Sinful humanity, in his arrogance and pride, wants to do business with the Almighty. As if we stand created in his image, we reverse the whole thing. God, we'd now like to make you in our image, and we'd like to stand on a level playing field with you, and we'd like to debate with you. Such nonsense. Nonsense. We hear his voice. That voice that tenderly calls us. That voice that graciously says, I will lead. Will you follow? Hearing the voice of Jesus call your name. Well, Jesus is honest, there will be many voices. But only mine is true. And you know, ultimately that's, you know, the real root of our sin is sin against our Creator God. And the real root of our sin is that we don't want to make him Lord. But he says, my sheep hear my voice, and my sheep follow. And my sheep are listening for the way in which they should go, because they know the way in which I will lead them. You know, when you kind of understand the depth of that, Psalm 23 takes on a new meaning. I know there's a kind of surface level comfort that Psalm 23 people always look for. But in actual fact, when you understand John 10, you understand Psalm 23. One of the things that I love about this voice of Jesus that invites us is that he's inviting us effectively to enter into abundant life. That's what the invitation is. And that's what makes the Christian life so wonderful. Now, abundant life, it is a life of adventure. It's not a life of ease, right? But abundant life is a life that God extends to all who by faith put their trust in Jesus Christ. And it's fascinating because in verse 5, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And what happens from verses 7 through to 21 is that Jesus starts to use a number of mixed images just to try and get the point through. I am the door, I am the good shepherd. But in all of them, what is he saying about his voice? What is he saying about being the door? What is he saying about being the good shepherd? What he's saying is that it's only in and through me that you can enter into the abundant life that God delights to give to those who believe on him. So verses 7 through 10, so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Those who came before me, thieves and robbers, but the sheep don't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You see, that's that little point I was making. Some people just think about the door as you go in through Jesus and now we're saved. Heaven is ours. But Jesus actually says, you go in through me, you will be saved. But he says, you will go in and out and find pasture. But all of that is under the authority of Jesus. All of that is listening to the voice of Jesus. All of that is doing what God's will in Christ for his world is through his church. You know, what's the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ is at work in this world today offering the message of salvation to our world? It is through the church. It is through those who have heard his voice, responded to his voice, and saying, I will follow you. Whatever it costs, whatever it takes, whatever the sacrifice, I will follow. I know the fullness of the sacrifice you have made. My desire is that the abundant life that there is in Christ will be declared to this world, and it will be done through the church of Jesus Christ. One shepherd, one flock, right? And so the reality is that it's all about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. You and I live and exist every single day for Jesus, for his honor, for his glory, for the magnification of his name, for the proclamation of his name. We live entirely for Jesus. And the reality is that too many of God's people still live for themselves. They want Jesus, but they want life to be all about them, not about Jesus. And the call of God in Christ is that life will not be all about you, it will be all about me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the strange thing, but in making it all about Jesus, you will have abundant life. You will have a life that could never be more fulfilled. You will have a life that could never be better. It could never be better. And Jesus is speaking about that, and he says, I'm the door for the sheep. He says, and everyone who enters by me, they will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Do you know, it's fascinating. We live in a world, I've had Christian ministers say to me, I think we need to lose the language of saved. What nonsense is that? If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me, right? Okay, I'm fine with it, right? If I'm drowning as a ship goes down and the guy comes in the RNLI boat and fishes me out, I'm happy to say I've been saved, right? You know, it's still very current in today's language, right? If I'm in some building and it's in fire, and John's retired now, but one of his ex, former colleagues, kind of comes in with all the apparatus and bits and pieces and kind of cuts their way through everything and drags me out, I'm happy to say I've been saved, right? If I've had cardiac and it's not the will of God for me to go home yet and Jason or somebody does the business to, I'm happy to say I've been saved, right? But we live in a world where people sometimes sit there and debate the language of it. Jesus turned around and he said, it is only in and through me that anyone can be saved. He says, that's why he's in the door. That's why I'm the good shepherd. That's why I'm telling you, don't listen to those that are telling you all these other ways that they think by doing them they might save you. They will not save you. I will. And so he uses this language and he says, what I want you to do is I want you to enter through faith in me into the abundant life that God has for those who give all that they are to him. Living the abundant life. Living the abundant life. And you know, one of the greatest things about living the abundant life is to be used of God in the sharing of that gospel with others. And sometimes we struggle with that, or we find that hard. One of the things we're going to be doing next year is teaching people how to use things like Word 1-to-1. And you know, in all of our life, there is what we might describe as the low fruit. You know what the low fruit is? Friends, neighbors, family members, colleagues that you've already got a great relationship with, and they know you're a follower of Jesus. And you know, God can use you just to be those who would pick low fruit and invite them into the abundant life of Christ. There's high fruit as well. You know, it's the whole world out there and all sorts of different things. It's a bigger job, right? But the reality is we can all start with low fruit, you know. I've got to be honest, you know, a true confession here. When I was a boy, never quite understood this. I used to go apple raiding, right? Apple raiding, right? You know, people had trees and apples. The apples were all rotten, right? But at the end of the day, we ate them, right? And, you know, get sick and stomach and all sorts of stuff. But, you know, we didn't generally when we were doing an apple raid, sort of climb the tree to get to the top. We just kind of whacked in at the low fruit, you know what I mean? And sometimes as the people of God, we just used to realise that the abundant life which is ours in Christ and the call of God upon us to be those who make Jesus known is to reach the low fruit. It's not low in terms of the significance, because when the voice of God calls your name, you realise just how significant that is. Just in terms of ease. You don't need a ladder. And we can go from there. But the reality is the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. You know, Jesus, of course, when he's actually talking about the thief, he's talking about those false religious leaders and teachers. But there are many things that would steal and kill and destroy if it's not the good news of Jesus. Sometimes I question myself, how much do we care for those that are lost? How much do we care for what all their time is given over to? When we know that the only way into abundance is through Jesus Christ. And it's verses 11 to 18 that the perfect sacrifice of the Good Shepherd that really add the poignancy to Remembrance Day. The perfect sacrifice of the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. And then Jesus says something very unusual. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand, not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf come and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand. He cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And of other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also, one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, and I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. Now, this is unusual, because we can understand the person who's just a hired hand legs at the minute the trouble appears. But the shepherd owns the sheep, creator. The shepherd loves the sheep. The shepherd's heart is beating for the sheep. But the interesting thing is that normally when and this is why we need John 10 to really understand Psalm 23. When we think about Psalm 23, we think about the shepherd leading and protecting and caring. Think for a moment, what does it mean if the shepherd is going to lay down his life? Are the sheep then not vulnerable? Are the sheep then not unprotected? Are the sheep then not left to the elements? What is this talk? That a shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. This is new language. Everyone knew that a good shepherd would protect his sheep. Everyone knew that a good shepherd would fight for his sheep. But a shepherd laying down his life? What is this language? And of course, we know that in actual fact, it's the language that Isaiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah, you know, were pointing to. We know it's that very text, as the lamb before the shearers is silent, the text that Mandy brought out this morning. We know that what's going on here is Jesus is saying, there is only one way in which I can both be the door and the good shepherd, and that is that if I lay down my life for the sheep. In other words, in my death, and notice in my resurrection. For I've got authority to lay it down, and I've got authority to take it up again. And no one, you know, will put me on Calvary's cross. Jesus says, I will go there of my own volition. I will die for the sheep. And when he speaks about other sheep in other places, what he's really just saying, because first and foremost, Jesus came to the nation of Israel, to the house of Israel, and he also came to the Gentiles. And so what he's really saying, he's preaching this first to those that are in the temple at the Feast of Tabernacles. He said, you know, I'm looking for those that are going to see me as their Messiah, but I've got other sheep in another flock. They're called Gentiles, called you, called me, right? And the reality is I'm going to bring them in also. And the one sacrifice of the one perfect sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is going to be the thing that makes it possible for there to be one flock and one shepherd. But this is new language. The good shepherd laying down his life. The good shepherd taking his life back up again. And he says, I've received this from the Father. And what we're seeing here is something of the eternal counsel of the Godhead. What we're seeing here is something of the eternal plan of God. What we're seeing here is an insight into the God of all creation and the way in which he was going to call those who are his own back to a living, loving relationship with himself. What we're seeing is the mind and will of God. Do you see this? This is the mind and will of God. And so Jesus gives his life and takes his life back up again, entirely in keeping with his authority as God. And the reason he's the good shepherd is that he's the only one who can do this. And it's good news for you and for me that he's willing to lay down his life, that he's willing to die and to be raised from the dead again, that he's got the authority to do that. And that his voice is the one that all those who are truly saved will cling to. His word, his promises, his ways. Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. This was unheard of. And yet, strangely, in the laying down of his life and the taking it up again, he becomes the eternal shepherd who can lead us even through the valley of the shadow of death. Because the valley of the shadow of death is not unknown to Jesus. When we sit with others as they prepare to enter the valley of the shadow of death and in time death itself, It's only by faith, it's only because of the hope that we are in Christ that we see the shafts of light. But when we learn what it is to be with Jesus, then even there with Jesus, we are with the one who knows the valley of the shadow of death. And we fear no evil because he is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. Notice what it says. He is with us. His rod, his staff, they comfort us. And so Jesus is the good shepherd, but the good shepherd is himself the perfect sacrifice that makes it possible for us to be known and to know, that makes it possible for us to be known and to know, not just for a moment, but for all eternity. It's all about Jesus. And as they're hearing Jesus preach, they start to respond. There was a division amongst the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he's got a demon, he's insane. What kind of nonsense is this? But others said, these are not the words of a man possessed by a demon. And can a demon heal a man, open the eyes of a man who's been blind? There are those who are listening that the scales are beginning to fall from their eyes. The spiritual blindness is dissipating. Fresh vision is coming in. They're beginning to see something of the mystery of the providence of God in Christ. They're beginning to see something of the mystery of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're beginning to understand that for us to know God, God must call. They're beginning to understand that for God to wipe away our sin and rebellion, a price must be paid. But in Christ, it is going to be paid. It is now paid. It is possible. They're beginning to understand that for us to be saved, it will need to be someone out with of ourselves who does the saving. They're beginning to see that this Jesus who is standing before them using divine language, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, is none other than the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And today, it is no different. You can preach your heart out in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hardness of sin and pride will keep a man locked up in that little cell of his own making, where he will not hear the voice of God and will not respond in repentance and faith and place all his trust in Christ. Or the Spirit of God can be working. And a person says, I see it. I hear it. It is all about Jesus. I surrender who I am to him. I hear his voice call me. I long to follow. I want to live with all that I am for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you respond to Jesus? Let me entreat you. If you've never made your peace with Jesus Christ and you've heard his voice today, would you make today the day of salvation?